God, Calvary took care of it all. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. When you find 2 Peter chapter number 2, poke your finger in there and hold it and find Acts chapter number 17. 2 Peter chapter number 2, find Hebrews, James, and then you'll find 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and then Acts chapter number 17. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Aren't you glad that those songs carry a deep, deep meaning to us? I remember when they didn't. I knew the words to them for 19 years of my life. I knew Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I sung that 3 times a week, every week of my life. But did not have a clue. Yeah. I'm glad one Sunday morning after getting born again on a Friday night, I sung Amazing Grace for the first time. Amen. Amen. Woo! Boy, I'm telling you, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, that was a thing in my home church. It didn't matter how many hymns they sung. Just before we had fellowship, you had to turn to page 57 and sing Amazing Grace. And we started singing that first verse. Boy, and I just broke down, started crying. I mean, buddy, I ain't never cried to Amazing Grace. But, buddy, it was amazing to me that morning. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter number 17, 2 Peter chapter number 2. Did y'all find both of those? Simple thought tonight. Brother Levi and I spent a little time working up here today, and he asked me that I ever thought about this and showed me something, and the Lord just began to develop it a little bit, and I believe we'll preach this direction tonight. Before we read any scripture tonight, I want to say that we are having an effect on the world we live in one way or the other. Amen. Brother Swofford said there are many standing on the promises, but you can't find them on the premises. We've got a lot of people saying one thing out of their mouth, but living something totally different in their lives. Amen. When we knock on doors and people say, I'd come to church, but the church is full of hypocrites. They're exactly right. Yes, sir. Well, I didn't get enough amens right there. Yeah. You got one hypocrite talking to a bunch more. Yeah. You say, you're the pastor, you're a hypocrite at times. Boy, it got quiet on me right there. At times, I'm not 100% holy all the time. Are you? Tonight, the title of the message, I guess, will be the thought tonight, who is impacting who? Who is impacting who? We are watching churches across our country change in such a way that you can't tell the church house from the concert house. The church has no longer become a place of worship. It's become a place of entertainment. Make me feel good. Give us something to clap about and tap our foot to. Let us buy some popcorn in the foyer and a Starbucks. Amen. That's what church has become for the most part in the world which we live. But church was never intended to be that way. But what has caused the church to become that way is the influence that the world has had on the church. Let me say that again. It's the influence that the world has had on the church. That thing is happening in reverse of God's will. It's supposed to be the church having a positive effect on the world and not the world having a negative effect on the church. So I want to ask you tonight, who is impacting who? Are you impacting your world or is your world impacting you? You cannot live in our society, in our world, not impact you to some extent. Amen. The world dictates a whole lot of stuff, doesn't it? How we dress, how we eat, where we go, what entertains us, what doesn't entertain us. So I'm not being absolutely ridiculous. We're not called to be monks who live in a convent somewhere. And we've got a whole lot of people across the country that are living this separatist movement. Anybody know what that is? They don't even go to church. There's not a church good enough for them. They have church in their house with their family, and that's it. Or they live in a commune somewhere. I have a friend of mine who was, I believe Brother Freddie knows him, I know my son does, had a friend of mine. We were friends for years. I preached in his church several times. He got caught up in this whole Amish Mennonite thing. And now he lives in a convent. They don't call it a convent. They have their own community in Tennessee. They make their own clothes. They don't have power and all that stuff. You can have that junk, man. Amen. I don't want my lights to involve kerosene unless I'm deer hunting and camping. Amen. I like to flip a switch and the light come on. But there's a crowd who wants to separate themselves totally from the world. You cannot do that and still be effective to the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And the problem that's creeping in our churches and creeping in our lives, if we're not careful, is that we are allowing the world to have too much influence on us and us have too little influence on it. Did you know there was a day in America that nothing happened in a city that didn't go through the church? Now it's this big separation of church and state. Oh, that's separation of church and state. That law was designed to keep the state out of the church affairs, not to keep the church out of state affairs. Amen. There was a day when the church had a voice, and the church no longer has a voice. We're living in a day when the world has crept into our church and everything's okay. Listen, according to the Bible, everything's not okay. I'll get to the message in a minute and read some scripture. I had a lady, just a ton of thoughts started going through my head after Levi mentioned this today. Had a lady down in South Florida. I stayed in their home this past week. It's an old retired couple from Buffalo, New York. She said they moved from New York to North Carolina. I thought, man, you didn't go far enough, because they still have to spend half the year in Florida, amen? That bunch of snowbirds. Everybody in Florida, nobody is from the South in Florida. They're all Yankees, amen. And she said when they first got to North Carolina that they got invited by the husband's sister. That's why they moved there. It's where she lived. They got invited to a church. And she said they went in. She said the first thing she saw was the drums and the guitars and the whole band set up and the lights and all that stuff. She said, man, they put on a concert. It was like rock and roll. She said afterward they had fellowship down in the basement of the church. And she noticed everybody kept going back to the counter getting something else to drink. It wasn't until another lady in the church handed her a Dixie cup or whatever, and she smelled up. It was alcohol in the church. You know what that is? That's the world saying, hey, it's okay to drink as long as you do it sociably. Amen. The Bible said it's a mocker. Amen. It makes a mockery of who you are. Amen. Listen, there are things that are still wrong. Just because our world says it's okay. There was a church here in Douglasville. Now, somebody might get offended with me right here, but I really don't care. There was a church down here in Douglasville that had a gay pastor. And I don't mean that he was happy. A homosexual pastor. Can you imagine that? How would you like him counseling your little boys? Amen. Who's impacting who here? Happy Valley has had an impact on Villarica. You get both sides of the coin. Either y'all are such a blessing or that church is a bunch of nuts. And I think that's a pretty good balance. There's a certain crowd out there that I want to think that we're a bunch of nuts. Amen. But then there's another crowd out there that I want to look at us and go, man, y'all are a blessing. Amen. To the Christians out there, I want them to say, man, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I believe with all my heart the presence of churches in our parade every year has increased because of our church. Amen. The vocalness of our church and the handing out of gospel tracts of our church. Brother Jason and I were in a meeting with Brother Roger, I don't know his last name. Brother Roger Luke, right down here at the Holiness Church. Brother Roger's a good man. And he is bragging on our church and the impact it's had on Villarica. Amen. Thank God. Now listen, we're making a positive impact or a negative impact. Or the world is making a negative impact on us, or we're making a positive impact on it. And I want you to ask yourself that tonight, as we look at a couple of different lives in the Bible, and ask yourself, what kind of impact am I having? Is the world impacting me, or am I impacting the world? Is the world making a difference in my life, or am I making a difference in the life, in the world, in the people around me in it? Acts chapter number 17, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 17, y'all still there? Verse number 6, the Bible said, and when they found them, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. He's talking about the disciples and the apostles and their effect on the world. What these guys were saying when they drew the men into the city, they were saying, this is the guy that all, these are the guys that all the uproar is about. This is what everybody's talking about. This is that crowd that's preaching Christ and Him crucified, and that He was the chosen one. He was the Messiah that would come, and blah, 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 blah. This is the people who are making a difference. If you'll study the early church, we know several key statements, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Everywhere they went about in the synagogues in the cities preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and lives were impacted in a positive way. I would say trusting Christ as your Savior and missing hell would be a positive impact in somebody's life. Amen. Let me say that again. I'm saying keeping or rescuing somebody from hell would be a positive impact on their life. Amen. Brother Jay Bice, none of his family's here tonight. I try to be careful about what I say. Brother Jay Bice was my hero. Amen. Yep. He led me to Christ. Amen. Did he have faults? Probably, but don't tell me about them. Yeah. The fact that he led me to the Lord, that outweighed everything. That's right. The impact he had on my life erased the fact in my mind that he was out of church for 15 years. Yeah. We okay tonight? Yes, sir. They got messed up in a church mess and got hurt, and I mean, brother, he just quit. Yeah. Right. I never stopped loving that man. He was my neighbor and lived across the road to me. From me to others, they would say, what about Jay Bice? Can you believe he's out of church? Blah, blah, blah. But to me, it was a man who led me to Christ. The impact he had on my life far outweighed anything wrong that he did. And I'm not excusing the wrong. I'm just saying the impact was greater than anything. I'm glad when he came back to church, he came here. Amen. And I had the privilege to be the pastor of the man who led me to Christ. Man, what a thing, man. What a privilege. He had a great impact on my life. He helped mold and shape who I was and who I became. Thank God for the impact that he had, not just on my life, but the lives of countless others down through the years. Thank God for that impact, Brother Tommy and Miss Sheila. He had an impact on their life, and there are many, many others. We could go on and on and on. But then we think about other Christians who were saved, and they're on their way to heaven. But their own children, if they died like they are, bust hell wide open. Their own families, their own co-workers, their own best friends do not know God and probably wouldn't dare come to church because of the life they've lived in front of them. What happened is a lot of Christians has allowed so much of the world in their lives. And when I talk about being separate from the world, doesn't mean we're better than everybody else. But we got something living down on the inside of us that causes us to be different. That causes us to have a little higher standard of living. Amen. Changes the way we talk. Changes the way we act. Amen. Changes the way we care and changes the way we love. But by looking at some Christians, you would never know they were saved except they told you they were. Have you ever known somebody for a while and then out of the blue they told you they were a Christian? And you were like, really? You were shocked? I wonder how many people have ever been shocked that you profess to be a Christian. You don't have to say anything right there. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2, look with me at verse number 6. The Bible said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, Now watch the wording. The Holy Ghost put this in here. Vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Watch verse number 8 carefully. For that what? Righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I know Lot was the Old Testament. These disciples and apostles were the New Testament. We know the mercy and the grace of salvation. Lot did not. But the Bible did call him a righteous man. He knew something about God. He knew who God was. He knew there was a different standard for the child of God than the child of the world. But Lot made a choice, just like many Christians make a choice. We choose to live how we live. If we live wicked, it's because we choose to. But if you decide that you're going to live amongst the wicked long enough, you're going to live like they do. And if you hang out with them long enough, you're going to do what they do, and you're going to talk like they do, and you're going to act like they do. That's why we have Christians, so-called, in this church who talk filthy on the internet. That's why you have people who are one thing on Sunday and something totally different on Monday. The world is impacting them, and they're having no impact on the world. Amen. Look at a couple of thoughts tonight as we go down through here. Now listen, we got to live in the world, but I like what an old black preacher said years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, just because you swim in the ocean don't mean you got to be no fish. I like that. Just because you swim in the ocean don't mean you got to be no fish. In other words, what he was saying, just because you're out there where the fishes are don't mean you have to become one of them. Just because you're out there where the party crowd is, don't mean you have to become part of the party crowd. Just because everybody at your job's committing adultery and talking nasty, don't mean you got to commit adultery and talk nasty. There was a day when God's people walked away from a filthy joke. There was a day when God's people walked away from a bunch of loose lips and bad talking. There was a day when people respected Christians and wouldn't talk that way in front of them. Amen. You know what that was? Somebody had lived a life in front of them that earned some respect. We doing all right? I want to notice a couple of things about these people. I want to notice, first of all, their preaching. Their preaching. When we talk about preaching, we're not just talking about what comes out of the pulpit. You preach every day you live. Amen. I know some guys who preach a real good deer hunting gospel. I know some guys who talk a real good fishing gospel. I know some guys who talk a real good golf gospel. That's all they ever talk about. I know some guys who talk a real good pass gospel. You get them together and all they talk about is a pass. I'm guilty of falling into that lot right there. Amen. You get a bunch of old friends together, we talk about what we used to do. And I think the reason we do that is because we enjoy revisiting that old sinful, wicked past. Amen? But if we're really God's children, man, we ought to talk about things of God. We ought to talk about what God's done in our heart. We ought to talk about the fact that we're saved. Well, when we mention the past, it ought to be in the light. Thank God we ain't doing what we used to do. Thank God we ain't living like we used to live. Thank God the Lord has made a difference in our life. Amen. We preach every day we live. Amen. I'm not talking about you got to go to work and just stand on the table and preach a gospel to everybody and ram the gospel down their throat, but you can live a Christian life in front of them. You can have the right temperament. You can have the right attitude. Amen. The life you live will make an impact on the world where you are. I did not realize this for a long time after I got saved. It was after I was called to preach, and I worked at the Douglas County Board of Education for 10 years. And it wasn't long, somebody was coming up to me having trouble in their marriage. Can I talk to you during lunch? Sure. They wanted advice. Somebody died in their family. Can you preach their funeral? I mean, and on and on and on. And I'd witnessed all the guys. I'd give them all a gospel track. I'd invited them all to church, but that was about it. I didn't go in and judge them every day. I didn't. I didn't point my finger at them, say, you so wicked. I'd get on them for using the Lord's name in vain about that fast. But that's about it. But boy, when they needed help and they needed spiritual help, they came to somebody that they saw something in. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just using myself as an example. In other words, maybe I had had a little bit of an impact on my life, on their life. And maybe such an impact that over the years, I got to have several of them in church with me. Lord willing, there'll be a man here Sunday morning. We worked together day after day after day. Knew me better than anybody at the Board of Education. Comes to church and hears me preach every Sunday. Thank God for that. Thank God I didn't live away in front of him. He'd say, no, I know that guy. I ain't about to listen to him preach. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, again, it sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging. Son, that's the grace of God that made a difference in my life. It wasn't a change I made. I didn't have the power to change my life. But I'm talking about your preaching, the life you live in the front of other people make a difference. And it makes an impact. But if we're not careful, we'll allow so much of the world and its terminology and its language and its actions to impact our life that you can't tell us from them. Yeah. Now, walking down the street without speaking, it's hard. Amen. Yeah. I walk into hospitals all the time. If I happen to have on a suit and tie, I've had people come up and ask me directions. Where is this room? Where's the ICU? And I'm going, I was hoping you knew. They think I'm a doctor. Don't I look like a doctor? I know a lot of preachers that claim to be. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Are you a doctor? Yeah, stick out your tongue. You're going to die. Amen. No. Amen. Because they don't know. They don't know the difference between a doctor in a suit and tie and a preacher in a suit and tie. What I'm saying is if them being around you a little bit, hey, don't tell me a Christian. Let me talk to the people you're around a lot. Amen. Let me get your children all by themselves. Amen. You would not believe, Brother Freddie will tell you I'm telling the truth, you would not believe the kids that come in our office over the year when we had our school. But you just don't know mom and daddy. Oh yeah, I do, I'm their pastor. Oh, you get Sunday morning. We had to live with them. Their preaching evidently wasn't the same on Monday as it was on Sunday. And the way we allow the world to infect us or affect us or impact us, it changes what comes out of our mouth. It changes our actions and our reactions to things that come our way. Those disciples went everywhere preaching the gospel. Everywhere you find them, man. Everywhere you find the apostles. Oh, they got in trouble. They got locked up. They got put in jail. But it wasn't DUI. It wasn't selling dope on the corner. It wasn't prostitution. It was for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get tired of people in jail, man. I used to preach in jail all the time, Brother Warren. Warren's preached there twice already this week. Is that right? Twice in the jail. I'd have these guys all the time, Brother Robbie. Oh, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'd be like, no, you ain't. My little stepbrother got put in prison for robbing a store at gunpoint. Scooters right down there on 61, robbed the store. Wrote me a letter telling me how he felt like the Apostle Paul. I said, you're an idiot. You're in jail for robbery. Not preaching, amen. Amen. The disciples went everywhere. But think about Lot. You know the story of Lot, Genesis chapter 13, 14 down through there. You know the story of Lot. Lot lived half his life with his Uncle Abraham. No doubt he sacrificed with Uncle Abraham. No doubt he prayed with Uncle Abraham. But one day Uncle Abraham said, all right, Lot, they strife between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. Our help are arguing. In other words, we've got so much together that it's becoming a burden. We need to separate. And here's what he told Lot. You need to make a choice. I'm going to give you the pick, Lot. You pick where you want to go. And Lot made a choice. In Genesis chapter number 13, the Bible said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And we'll look at that a little bit. But Lot's life changed drastically when he got away from his Uncle Abraham. We see a lot of young people like that after they graduate high school, go off to college or whatever. But when they get out from under mama and daddy, woo! You find out real quick what they had at home, but it wasn't really in their heart. Amen. My heart's desire that people say, boy, I want young people that dress right and look right. I want people that are young people that are right. Amen. Amen. If their heart's right, you ain't got to make them dress right. Amen. If their heart's right, you ain't got to make them act right. They'll be hungry for the things of God. You get their heart right. Amen. But they're preaching, man. Our preaching in our life, it either has a positive impact on the world, or the world's had such an impact on us that our preaching is of none effect. Some people have lived their lives in such a way that it would be a joke for them to witness to their family or their friends. Amen. I got tickled at Hayden and Jonah. Hayden is 6 and he is obsessed with people who are saved and people who are not. I would rather have him obsessed with that than any other thing in the whole wide world. He gets a little obnoxious about it. Like standing up in his desk at school, okay, who's going to hell? Who's going to heaven? Actually had a meeting with his teacher. She was worried to death. She told the teacher, she said, I'm sorry, but he is obsessed with this heaven and hell thing. You know what the teacher said? She said, thank God we have a witness here. She said, that little fella can say stuff I can't. She said, I just ignore him. Amen. Well, while I was in Florida last week, Hayden led his little brother to the Lord. Every day, whether Jonah got saved or not, I don't know. He's 4. Every day, Hayden, they're riding down the road. He leaned over in the car seat and say, Jonah, you going to hell. You ain't saved, Jonah, you going to hell. Jonah say, I ain't going to hell. He talks to it. Anyway, Jonah got saved. Here's what Hayden said to Jonah. He said, now Hayden, he's telling him how to live after you get saved. He said, now Jonah, you got saved, you got to live right. And you got to live like the Lord wants you to live. He said, you got to pray every day, and you got to read your Bible. Jonah can't read. He said, you got to read your Bible every day. And Jonah sat there for a minute, and he said, Hayden, you don't read your Bible every day. 4 years old. 4 years old. Hayden said, well, you're supposed to. Amen. I ain't telling you to do what I do. I'm telling you what you're supposed to do. That's about the average Christian right there. But Jonah was watching his big brother. 4 years old. Pretty observant. You don't read your Bible every day. Amen. The life we live preaches a message. I want you to notice their preaching, but then not only their preaching, but their practice. Their practice. We follow that early church, and we won't go through all the scriptures. You know them. They went from house to house breaking bread. They sold what they had and gave to take care of the poor and gave to the church. I mean, they were a giving people. They were a fellowshipping people. Amen. And I believe by fellowship, they had the right kind of fellowship. I believe what they fellowshipped around was the gospel. Amen. Some churches, man, some fellowship ought to be cut off. Because it turns into a bunch of carnal junk. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our fellowship ought to be godly. Yeah. Man, listen. You ever heard anybody say, practice what you preach? Amen. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Practice what you preach. If you're telling your family you're saved, practice that in front of them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. At Thanksgiving, at Christmas, at whatever the case may be. Hey, wait a minute. We ain't prayed. Let's bow our heads and let's ask the blessing. Amen. Don't think you've got to be the one to do it all the time. Ask somebody else who. Why don't you ask the blessing? Yeah. Amen. We all right? We ought to practice what we preach. People ought to see us with a Bible every now and then. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I think it's all right to keep one laying in your truck or in your car. Amen. Hey, it's a testimony. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Well, I shouldn't even say that. It's carnal. It gets you out of trouble. Stacy Bullock was coming home from working out of town a couple of weeks ago, and he got pulled over. He was speeding big time. Had his Bible laying on his dash. Didn't even think nothing about it. Said the cop pulled him over, and he said he noticed the cop kept looking at that Bible. The cop said, you know what? I ain't going to write you a ticket. You know what? That was a witness. That Bible's a witness, man. Amen. I always pull it out of my backpack on the airplane. I lay it on that table in front of me. Man, you would not believe the conversations that's brought up. Amen. Are you a preacher? Are you a Christian? Would you pray for this? That man, they'll ask you to pray for him. I mean, they'll flat, or they'll get up and move if there's an empty seat. I've had both happen, amen. Had that happen Saturday morning while we were sitting on a plane for 4 hours. Amen. We ought to practice what we preach. But we've got so many Christians who are practicing what the world does. Amen. They're practicing what the world does. They've let the world impact their lives so much that, listen, what you take in the most of, there's a little poster on the wall when I was a kid in New Georgia Elementary School. It said, "You are what you eat," and had all kind of pictures on there. Amen. Amen. You are what you eat. I'm a cow. Amen. I'm no vegetable. I'm a cow. Amen. But you are what you eat. The more of the world you pump in, you watch 6 hours of television today, pray 5 minutes, read your Bible a little, if at all. Don't expect your outward practice to be pleasing unto God. Don't expect your outward practice to have a positive impact for God on this world. Why? Because the world's having more of an impact on you than you are on it. Does that make sense? I know Christians who listen to talk radio all day long, every day. Ain't nothing wrong with talk radio. But man, we ought to get some preaching. Amen. We ought to get some gospel singing. Amen. We all right? They were totally different in their practices. Their actions, these disciples, these apostles, their actions match their words. Their actions match their words. And we'll look at some in a little bit whose actions very well did, whether no matter their circumstances, their actions matched their mouth. How they acted outwardly and how they acted toward others, it matched what they preached. Amen? I want my life to match. I'm still working. I've been saved 29 years. I'm still working on trying to get my life to match what I preach. Amen. Have you ever, any of you guys ever been preaching and you wish you could live up to your own preaching? A few of you is grinning because you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're preaching, you thought, boy, I wish I could live like that. Amen. I'm trying. Amen. He's still working on me. Amen. But our actions ought to be becoming of Christ and not make everybody else think of the world. Amen. And we talk about the world, we're talking about the lost. We're talking about the wicked. Amen. Not everybody's out there is wicked. I know that. Not everything out there is wicked. If it was, we might as well move in a commune somewhere. Not everything on television is wicked, just most of it. Amen. Man, we allow ourselves. You remember what vexed Lot's soul? You know, remember what vexed that righteous man? We read it a while ago. He was vexed by what he saw and by what he heard. And he chose to live there. Look at Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. We doing okay tonight? Simple little thought. Who's impacting who? Genesis chapter number 13, look at verse number 12. Say amen when you get there. The Bible said that Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now watch this but in verse number 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I don't think it became that way after Lot moved in. Brother Eric Knight pastored a church in the suburbs of Houston, Texas. And at one time, it was a thriving church and a growing church. Brother William and I went there. I think Brother Levi went there. And about all Eric could ever get in that church was six or seven people. Tops, wouldn't I say, somewhere in that neighborhood. Most of them were Sister Stacy's family. He couldn't get anybody to drive to the church because the community around them had changed so bad that people were scared to drive down that street. But it wasn't always that way. I don't think Lot moved to Sodom and then Sodom got bad. I think Sodom was bad when Lot moved there. And you know what he did? He joined himself to it.
He didn't just live there. He became a citizen of Sodom. He was found sitting in the gate of Sodom. That was a place of position in Sodom. So in other words, this righteous man was siding with this wicked city and these wicked men. We see the difference in their practices. These apostles, everywhere you see them, they're preaching the gospel. They're seeing that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth. They get persecuted for it, yes, and will get persecuted for it. But then we see the difference in Lot. The place that Lot's life changed drastically from living with his uncle Abraham and living in Sodom. Wouldn't you say? We've seen a lot of people that way. We've seen a lot of teenagers that way. We've seen a lot of church members that way. They live one way at church. I mean, boy, they was on fire for God, teaching Sunday school, involved in this, involved in that. Next thing you know, they're partying. They get out of church, brother, and they choose to live in the world. They get out there looking at the world, and they think, boy, that looks good, that sounds good. I'd like to do that, I'd like to do that. We get jealous of what God's already delivered us from. We start looking at it and it entices us. And we think, boy, I don't get to do that anymore. But guess what you do get to do? You get to stay married. You get to stay out of jail. You get to go to sleep with a clean conscience. Amen. Think about what you get to do, not what you don't get to do. I mean, when I first got saved, I was a tournament bass fisherman. I fished a lot of two-day tournaments. Two-day tournaments were Saturday and Sunday. No use fishing on Saturday if you wasn't going to be there on Sunday. And I'd go into church. I'd drive in my mama's church bus, passing all them boats headed toward Altoona. Boy, I'd think, man, I don't get to do that no more. Then I'd think, look in that rearview mirror. Yeah, come on, bro. Amen. And I'd see Clint Massey sitting back there. Amen. Just a little old bitty fella. And y'all believe it or not, one time he was. I could hold him in my arms. I don't want to try that tonight, amen? Me and my wife both be laying on the heating pad, amen? He was a little bitty fella. I'd look back there and see him. And I'd see Kelly Matthews. And I'd see Randy Massey. And I'd see all those kids, man. And I'd think, boy, it's a whole lot better than hauling a boat to the lake. Hauling that boat to the lake never made a difference in nobody's life. Hauling that boat to the lake never kept nobody out of hell. And brother, God would remind me right quick what He done in my life, what He is doing through my life. And boy, I'd grab that big old steering wheel and grin from ear to ear and say, glory to God, I ain't fishing. Yeah. Amen. Man, you got to remember. I mean, boy, the devil will start messing with your mind. Yes, them single people at work. I start to say at church. Them single people at work will start talking about the fun they had on the weekend. I've seen single married wives start hanging out with single wives, and it ain't long they single wives. Because them single people talk about stuff you ain't got no business talking about. Amen. They start making that world look enticing. You say, well, it never would happen to me. It's happened to better than a lot of us. Amen. We got to watch not only what we preach, but what we practice. Right. Now, I'll wind this thing down. We looked at their preaching, we looked at their practice, but I want you to look at the people that were affected. The people that were affected. We go through the book of Acts and we look at those apostles, we look at those disciples, and look at the lives that were affected. Let's think about their families, first of all. Did you know that is your first influence? That is your most important influence. What good is it? I've seen preachers give their lives so much to the ministry and let their own family die and go to hell. Amen. You know God made me a daddy before He made me your pastor? God made me a husband before He called me to preach? My wife and my children, my children are grown, don't even live in my house. They're still my number one priority. Outside my relationship with God. Come on, y'all all right? Amen. If my wife was in the hospital tonight, I would not be here. I'd be by her side. And I'd be fool otherwise. Amen. I know preachers who've missed half their kids' lives growing up. Amen. They've spent their life dealing with everybody else's problem. When their kid wants to talk to them, ain't got time. But that's wicked. Amen. That's wicked. Those disciples had an effect on their own families. How do you know? Well, let's look at that Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas, we're talking about their actions, their practice, matching what they preached. They're in jail. They're not toting signs, and they don't have people out there protesting and demonstrating. They're in bonds and chains. It ain't like our jail. They don't have color TV and air conditioning. They don't get three hots and a cot and a free education. They don't go to jail a crook and come out a lawyer. They don't go to jail. They don't go to jail a crook and come out a bigger crook. Amen. Y'all listening? Bro, they're in prison. They're in a dungeon. You know what they're doing? They're singing praises unto God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. Isn't that something? God shook that thing loose. That Philippian jailer is fixing to run a sword through his cell because all them prisoners are going to get away and he's be the one responsible. He's going to kill himself. He'd rather die than face the judgment for losing all them prisoners. They said, ho, 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 we're all here. Then there's something caused all them guys to stay. Might have been what they heard coming out of that dungeon. Ooh, that sounds sweet. He looked at Paul and Silas and said, men and sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? To have that attitude you have? To have that spirit you have? To have that joy you have? I don't think I could be bound in a dungeon. I don't think I could be tied by my feet and tied by my hands with fetters and chains and be able to sing with joy in my heart like you are. How can I have what you have? They gave him that great simple answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They didn't stop there. And thy house. What made them say that? Probably because of experience of what they've seen. You get daddy right, mama usually gets right. The kids usually get right. Amen. The reason we baptize such small children up there Sunday nights is because of the environment they live in. I don't think the church gets credit for that. They hear Brother Eddie preach and they hug Brother Eddie and they draw me cartoons and they draw pictures of me. One of these days they're going to draw one with muscles in a waist, amen? So far I'm still a stick man, amen? I've got a drawer full of, I love these children with all my heart. Man, but they get saved not just because of the preaching they hear, but what they see when they get home. The way you live affects your family, amen? I've had wife after wife after wife sit in my office and tell me with tears running down her face right in front of her husbands. I've had husbands sit there and drop their head because they can't deny it. Brother Eddie, you don't know what he is at home. He's a pervert. I get up in the middle of the night. He don't come to bed with me. He's still watching TV when I go to bed. I get up in the middle of the night and he's looking at porn on the internet. He's singing in the choir on Sunday. But he's in the porn on Monday. That's why I want a divorce. Got quiet. I've sat in my office before and looked across my desk and tried not for my facial expressions to say what I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking, I thought I knew him. I thought I knew this guy. All I know is religion Sunday. I don't know his life Monday. We okay? And it's not just the men who are bad. I've heard not women surfing porn, but stuff just as bad. We all right? Man, we'll try to live as best we can. Amen. Now don't get me wrong. I don't act like a preacher when I'm at home with my wife. We smooch, man. We went on a date yesterday. We went to the hospital. We had an Outback gift card. We went to Outback and ate a steak, man. Amen. I mean, we're not all time in the ministry. Amen. We have a relationship. Is that okay? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Never mind. We ought to practice. We ought to be the same person at home on Monday. We were at church on Sunday. We ought not to come in here and sing, "I know my name is there," and shout and holler and come to the altar and shed tears and go home and cuss our wife out on Monday. Amen. I've told you the story about the little boy in school who used such bad language in the second grade. Me and Brother Freddie both, we sat there and asked him, "Where'd you learn them?" And he had a little picture he drew with it. You remember that? We said, "Where'd you learn that?" "My daddy." "My daddy says it." That's what my daddy calls my mama when he gets mad. Daddy was a Christian. I'm not saying we're perfect. We all have our bad moments. But our good moments ought to far outweigh those bad moments. I wish I got two of my children here. Ashley had to go to a funeral home, one of her co-workers tonight. I wish I could tell you my children have never heard their mother raise her voice at me. She ain't here. I'm having a good time. I wish they could say, "I've never heard mom and daddy fight." But they have. But they have. But I guarantee you more than they've heard mom and daddy fight, they've seen mom and daddy love. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. They've seen us work through our fights and our troubles and make it work no matter what. Amen. What I'm saying is the people in our lives we affect most is, number one, our family. Our family. And then not only that, look at Lot. Look at Lot, the effect he had on his family. His son-in-laws didn't have enough confidence in him to follow him out of town. When he looked at his family and said, "Look, God's fixing to rain fire and brimstone." Who? God, you know, Elohim, God. One who created the heaven and earth. God, he's fixing up. He's fixing to rain havoc on this place. We got to get out. That was their attitude toward him. Who are you? You all right? His own family wouldn't even follow him. Going out of town, his wife turned into a pillar of salt. Not many days after, he's in a cave with his daughters and commits incest with his own daughter. Look at the effect, the choice he made to live in the wickedness and live in the world. Look at the effect it had on his children. And that's way back there with Lot. But we could go present day on some people, couldn't we? We could name name after name after name. And some of y'all are thinking about them. Instead of thinking bad about them, you ought to pray for them. I'd love to see them come back. I told a family at the hospital yesterday, Brother Charles heard me. Something was mentioned about somebody said something bad about me on Facebook. God is my witness. I said, "I'm going to tell you one thing about that person. If they walk through that door Sunday morning, I'm going to love them like they never left." Amen. I'm going to love them like they never left. I pretend I never knew what they said about me. I mean that with all my heart. Listen, man, we not only affect our family, but we affect our friends and those people around us. Man, Lot had a horrible effect on his family. Man, thank God. I'm not saying it's because of me or my wife, but it's the grace of God. My son writes gospel songs and does real good job preaching. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm going to Brother Chris Simpson's January, just a Friday night deal up in North Carolina. Levi's going with me, going to sing. And somebody told him they thought we were preaching together. He might be preaching too. What a blessing, man, to be preaching with my son. I remember a day when my own daddy, who's in heaven now, thank God we had a relationship before he died. I remember one day walking in my daddy's bedroom. He's sitting there rolling a joint and asked me if I wanted some. Y'all listening? Thank God I've never handed my son a beer and said, "Here, have you one." Thank God I've never rolled a joint and said, "Let's get a stone together." We've never been high together. We've never just sat and had a cussing spell together. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we do stuff together. It's revolved around the things of God mostly. Amen. We have a great effect on our family, but then we have a great effect on those people around us. Nobody was delivered from Sodom. Lot knew the truth. Lot knew God. Lot knew the answer. We have a lot of folks who claim the name of Christ, but they're absolutely a joke to those people who live around them. Amen. The people they affect. This crowd over here in Acts, God built a church out of them. That crowd over there in Genesis 13 died and went to hell. Are you listening? All because of a decision and a choice that Lot made. Some of you may be offered a job down the road where you have to move away from here. You better find a church before you find a job. I can name you families right now who are not in church because they took a job. Brother Eddie, I've been offered a position, blah, blah, blah. Have you found a church? No, but we'll find one when we get there. No longer in church. Brother Joe and his wife and daughter moved to Virginia. Lived wicked for several years. No, I'm kidding. Brother Joe told me, he said, we're going to help my father-in-law on his farm because the real estate business went under. He said, I want you to know we're going to a good church with a bus ministry and soul winning and a King James Bible. I don't think he'd have moved there if they hadn't had a church to go to. Believe that with all my heart. Man, we have an effect on the people we live with. We have an effect on the people we live around. And that effect is determined by how much we allow the world to affect us or how much we allow the gospel to affect us. I want the Lord to have greater effect on me than the world does. Amen. I want my preaching to be right, not just from the pulpit, but wherever we go. Little farm over here in Powder Springs where I help my friend work and train horses. Guy who lives there and owns the place is a millionaire. He lives half a year in Costa Rica, has a mile of beachfront. I can't imagine. Wealthy, wealthy man. Me and Sister Angie rode over there the other afternoon, had a couple of things to do, and I was helping Brother Chris out, and here this fella is. Only met him twice before. But he started, Chris was working a horse in the round pen in the corral, and this fella starts talking to me and my wife. He said, now, where'd you preach last week? I said, well, I was home last week. Well, where was you the week before that? And I told him, and he was just all inquisitive. Don't even know if this man's saved. But he is asking about the church. He is asking about the bus ministry. He said, boy, I'd like to come visit y'all. I said, well, praise the Lord, man. He left, went back to the house, and Chris told me and my wife, he said, for some reason, he said, that man don't warm up to many people. He loves Brother Eddie. And he loves Chris. Went to church with Chris one time, give a pile of money to Kingsway's bus ministry. Man, wouldn't it be something we get to lead that man to Christ? I think that'd be a thrill. But I'd have no chance in the world if I've been telling him filthy jokes. If I've been standing out there drinking beer or whatever. I'd have no chance of ever leading that man to Christ. Amen. I want the gospel to have enough impact on my life that I don't have to necessarily tell everybody what I am. They can look at our lives long enough to know what we are. The people you are closest to, somebody once said, if you really want to get to know somebody, marry them or go to work with them. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Man, if you think about it, you spend more time with your coworkers than you do your family. Amen. You're there 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week. You come home, you eat supper, watch TV a little bit, and you go to bed. Yes. Y'all all right? Those people you work with, they know you just about as good as anybody in this world. Amen. I want us to impact them and not let them impact us. And the reason the world's having such an impact on the church and on Christians is we're not strong enough. Amen. We're living too close to where we got in. We've never got involved in a Sunday school class. We've not learned the Bible for ourselves. We take everything the preacher says for granted. Amen. Well, I know people who don't believe in eternal security just because their grandpa didn't. They don't know why they believe it. Amen. Talked to a man the other day on an airplane. I was reading my Bible. I give him a track. We were sitting there talking. He said, well, I'm a Catholic. I said, what makes you a Catholic? He said, I was born a Catholic. He said, my mom and daddy are Catholic. My wife's parents are Catholic. My grandparents were Catholic. My great-grandparents are Catholic. I said, so you're a Catholic because they were. I said, have you ever made a decision for yourself spiritually? Amen. Man, I was very nice, man. Me and him had a good conversation. Left him with something to think about. Amen. Amen. Are you a Baptist because you was born one? You might have been born a Baptist, but you wasn't born saved. Right. Amen. Amen. I got saved and I got that first Bible, that old Schofield Bible. I still got it at home. But I started going through there checking that stuff out for myself. Amen. Why come we do this? Why come we do that? Yeah. I've always had a little bit of an attitude. You know, I just think, you know, if you ain't got to go to church on Sunday, I don't want to. That's my attitude, man. I found out what the Bible said. If I can really lose my salvation, I want to find out and make sure I don't lose it. Yeah. Hey, if that crowd gets to speak in tongues and heal people, yeah, how cool is that? If that's real, I want to do it. If to be saved, you're supposed to prosper and be rich. Man, I'm all for that. They's crowd that preaches that. If you're poor, it's because God's judging you. Bull on him. You know what I did? I got in that book, and I started figuring all that stuff out for myself. And the reason I'm a Baptist, honest before the Lord, man, my flesh would love some of that contemporary stuff. I come from a musical family. My daddy's in a Country Music Hall of Fame. I can play the drums, man. Oh, yeah. I preach in a couple of churches every year. It's got them. I go early just so I can beat on them a minute. I quit that, though. Lady coming to church said, I didn't know who that was playing them drums. I was like, oh. I play Wipeout. I used to sit on the bar stool, on the stool in the bar where my dad was playing, play Wipeout. Amen. During the intermission. Yeah. That stuff appeals to my flesh. I mean, if it don't to yours, you're lying. But boy, I got to figuring that stuff out for myself. And I found out that Baptist doctrine lined up best. And I found out some stuff that I'd been taught that wasn't in the book. Amen. Amen. Who's impacting who? Is the world having a greater impact on you than you are on it? Is the world having a greater impact on you than you are on it? And boy, you know what we ought to do if we're not having a greater impact on it? We ought to ask God, make a change in our heart. God, help me. What makes people like Jason Crow so bent on changing people's lives? What makes him so bent on a Victory Valley Ranch and a men's home? We got a meeting here in a couple of weeks about that thing. What makes him come here on Friday night, whether half of you show up or not? What makes him keep coming to RU? He thinks about all the damage he done out in the world. He thinks about the difference that God's made in his heart. And he wants to see in the lives of others what God's done for him. And that ought to be all our desire. You might not have been a drug dealer, but you was wicked. You might not be a convict. Some of you aren't, but you should have been. I should have been. I should have went to jail. I escaped that thing over and over and over and over. Had a buddy of mine. I had to preach his funeral. Called me one night and wanted me to help him go load up some cross ties. He said, can you help me load some cross ties? I said, sure. I didn't know he was getting them off a railroad track. He said, oh, these are old ones. They don't care. They locked him up next morning. I didn't even know it. I was at home asleep. You know what that was? That's grace, friend. Man, we all have a wicked past. Amen. And boy, we ought to thank God every day for what he's done in our lives. And Lord, be thankful enough that we want our lives. Listen, man, we don't have to, we don't live right just so we can go to heaven when we die. We try to do better and live right because what God's done in our heart.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand at our feet tonight. Just a simple thought tonight. What kind of impact do we have? Some of us owe co-workers an apology. Some of us owe family an apology. Some of us owe some friends an apology. Lord, say, hey, I ain't been doing right. Used to, man, we'd have teenagers get right with God and they'd testify. You know what they'd say? Y'all forgive me. I hadn't been living what I professed to be. I apologize. Y'all forgive me. I'm going to try to do better. And man, if that's good for young people, it's good for old people too. Amen. I've apologized to my wife before. I've apologized to my wife a lot. But can I get a witness? I've even done this before. I said, honey, I'm sorry. She said, for what? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm sorry. And I really am. I'm sorry she's mad. But I've had to look at my wife before and say, honey, I ain't been the leader that I ought to been. I hadn't been the godly example that I ought to been. Will you forgive me? Amen. It doesn't make you a wimp. It makes you a good Christian. Amen. And I bet your wife would respect you for that. I bet you your children would respect you for that. I bet you your co-workers, I don't care if they're atheists, would respect you for that. I was with a guy down in Florida last week. We went, I'll just tell you this and give the invitation or hand out the prayer sheet. We went out on Sanibel Island, and it's an island. You have to cross a bridge and pay and go over, you know. And the lady at the booth, the preacher, as soon as he saw her, he said, oh, Lord, every time I come through here, I get this lady. He said, she's an atheist. Watch this. And he went to give her a tract. She said, no, thank you. I'm an atheist. And a fella in the back of the van said, for now. Anyway, he probably shouldn't have said that, but anyhow. And our lives ought to just have an impact on people. I think about Brother Jay a lot. I remember standing in that funeral home till my legs felt like they were going to fall out from under me, standing at the head of his casket. And the people who come by and looked into his dead face and talked about the difference he made and the impact he made. I thought, boy, that's what I want when I die. But to have that, I got to work on it now.
Yeah. That's right.
It don't just happen when you die. It happens by the life you live. Amen. Let's get us a prayer sheet.